fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. And this week I've been talking about the exaltation of the cross. The Monday, of course, was the church's feast and really celebration of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The most amazing thing that ever happened in human history is both the incarnation of Jesus, but his death on the cross and that instrument of death and torture that was meant to crush and humiliate and destroy Christ and leave the human race without a hope becomes the instrument by which the human race is saved, is cleansed, is set free, when the enemy of the great enemy of man, of the human race, Satan himself, a death blow was dealt to Satan that he will never be able to overcome through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's about the precious blood that was shed on that cross. That's the greatest power in the universe, the blood of Christ, because it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us and makes it possible for us to become children of God. It's in the blood. Satan hates the blood of Jesus Christ. He hates the cross of Jesus Christ because he knows. I mean, St. Paul told us at one point, if the devil would have known what God had planned for him on Calvary, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. He did the one thing he never should have done. He spilled the blood that makes us clean. And friends, this is the best news possible. It's something to rejoice in and to let your heart sing and to, you know, behold a crucifix. Hopefully you have a crucifix in your home, a cross, and able to kneel before it, not in some form of idol worship, but to remember the one who died, who's alive, who's exalted now at the right hand of the Father. And as Philippians 2 told us on Monday when we read the passage, every knee will bend and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a gift, what a profound gift. And yesterday, I kind of followed up the Monday readings and looking at the exaltation of the cross and taking up Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 6, where he shows us how the cross is applied to each one of our lives. To every person who becomes a Christian is to be born, as Jesus said, of water and the Spirit. And in baptism, by being born of water, means being baptized. Remember, John baptized in the baptism of repentance. Even Jesus himself entered the waters of baptism. But Jesus said, John baptized you with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. John could deal with certain repentance. What did Paul say, or what did the apostles say about John the Baptist? That his was a baptism of repentance. Jesus himself said he was going to take that further. Why? Because he's the one who's anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and through his cross, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his exaltation and enthronement at the right hand of God the Father, he now reigns with total dominion over all of creation. And that means over you and over me. And for anyone who says yes to his victory, God the Father is granting eternal life. And that eternal life comes from receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what we see here in Romans chapter 6 is the coming together both of John the Baptist's baptism in water and Jesus Christ's baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Said yesterday so clearly, as Paul teaches us, that when we enter the water of baptism, we're entering into Christ's death. How's that possible? Well, by a decision of Christ. Jesus unites his death on the cross to each person who says yes to him, who repents of their sin, who enters that waters of baptism, just like they did with John, repenting of sin, that is, turning away from our willfulness, our pride, our ego, our lust, our covetousness, all of that, turning away from it and saying, I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. That's plunging in the water. That's the repentance dimension of baptism. But as we go down into the waters of baptism, we're united to Jesus by a miracle of his own power. He allows his death literally to be applied to my life and yours, to those who enter the waters of baptism. Jesus applies his cleansing power, the power of his blood to cleanse us and wash sin away from us. He unites himself to each one of us, one at a time. That's why he's your Savior. If you've been baptized into Christ, he's saved you, right? That's where it begins. Now, we need to walk this out in fear and trembling. We need to continue to avail ourselves to the grace that comes to us in the sacramental life of the church and to continue to repent of sin and not turn away from this great gift that God's been given to us. We know the scripture is so clear. We've been saved in baptism. I'm being saved and I'm going to be saved. There's a whole journey here. But I want to focus just now on the fact that Jesus, when you can say, people say, is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? That doesn't mean it's just you and Jesus. It means Jesus personally applied his death on the cross to your life. And by virtue of his action, you've now been cleansed of the power of sin, and he's given to you the gift of his own Spirit so that you can become a child of God and enter into his church and live in that body now, the body of Christ that he is forming, one new man, one body by his Spirit. It's so important for us to see. When you say, someone says you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it can be easily misunderstood and easily misinterpreted. It doesn't mean that I've got my private relationship with Jesus. I don't need the church. I don't need authority. I don't need visible structure. It's me and Jesus. That's not, you can't find that anywhere in the Bible. You can't find that anywhere in the history of Christianity. God's plan from the beginning, look at the Old Testament. Look at how God chose Abraham to build a people. God wants a people. God wants a holy nation. God wants a holy priesthood. And how does it come to us? Through his church. There it is. But he is my personal Savior because he personally applied his victory, his blood, his cross to my life. And he united, he brought me down into his death, you might say. He brought me into it. He united me to that great deed by which we are saved, that love of God on the cross that saves us. And then he pours out his Holy Spirit into me, and I become a new creation. I'm again born of water and the Spirit. And so I ended yesterday in this verse 10 of chapter 6 of Romans. And Paul says this, the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin. So that's what happened in baptism, and we must continue now as we move toward when the Lord calls us home between now and when we're brought home to continue to make war on sin in our lives and to have victory over sin through what? Through the sacraments, through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the support of others, and our capacity to confess whatever sin we commit, to be able to confess it and to receive absolution, to be cleansed. And again, the power of the cross of Christ, the person of Jesus, is applied to each one of our lives. Verse 12, he goes on to say, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. The teaching of the New Testament, the apostles, is so clear. We have to be careful. Sin wants is a power. Sin wants to reign in your life. Sin wants to rule you and dominate you. The devil wants sin to be awakened in us at a high level so that we become slaves to it so he can dominate us and lead us ultimately to turn again to turn away from the gift that we've been given in Christ Jesus. Paul says, do not yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourselves to God as men who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law now, but you're under grace. What is grace? Grace is the Holy Spirit. Grace is God's mercy. Grace is God's presence in your life. He'd say now, by virtue of your baptism and your life, grace has come to you. The life of God has been given to you. There's a new power in you to give you a new capacity to live a new way of life. You're a new person. You're a new creation. You don't have to live in slavery to sin. You've got power over it. Now, you can come by virtue of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit and the help of the brethren, the life of the church, and all the rest of it. You can come into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God and be able to love your neighbor, to love God, to love your neighbor as he's called you to do, to give your life over to the service of those who most need God's love, and to extend the Father's kingdom and commission in the world. Paul goes on in chapter 6. He just says some beautiful things that are so important for us to be able to internalize. He said, when you were slaves to sin, in verse 20, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed, Paul? When you were sinning, what happened? Yeah, you were free to do it. But what ends up happening? It brings shame, separation from God. He goes on, he said, the end of these things is death. That became your destiny. That became my destiny. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, you know, I'm now completely given over to God. I belong to another. I'm no longer my own. I literally belong to God. Again, the apostles tell us Christ died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. To this end, Jesus Christ died and rose again, Paul tells us, that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. Death no longer has dominion over Christ. There's nothing that has dominion over Jesus. That's why the apostles said he's the Lord. He's the one who's absolutely free, has total power, and there's no power ever that can come against him or can win victory against the Lord. He reigns in absolute total freedom, and he himself said, all authority and power has been given to me. He reigns victorious now. And so if we're in Jesus, we share in that victory, and nothing can have dominion over us. Not because of our own power, but because of the power of Jesus Christ in us. So we become slaves to God. He said, the return you get is sanctification and its end, which is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember, friends, the thing that motivated the apostles, the thing that made it possible for them to be able to face the rage of the kingdom of darkness and the powers of the world that killed them, that stalked them, hunted them down and killed them. They died freely. They died with joy. They died because their life was conformed to the Christ and Christ's death of laying down his life for love of the Father. Now they were able to lay down their lives. Why? Because Christ was in them and they knew it. They knew that they had passed from death to life and they were alive in Christ and that there was no power that could possibly separate them from the love of Jesus Christ. They were not afraid. They were sons of God and daughters of God, those who were martyred, those who were persecuted. They had become a new creation. They became children of God. They had a new set of priorities. Their life was now totally directed to the one to whom they belong, to God himself. They were children of God, and they knew it, and they experienced the power of the Spirit that made them capable, that enabled them to win victory over even those who were set against them. And they loved and forgave those who took their life because they had the big picture in mind. They were following in the footsteps of Jesus. May that be you and may that be me, especially in these most challenging times. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.